Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. We are live on our Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, closing the week out, getting you ready for the weekend as well. IU has a big game, a Big Ten conference game this weekend as we enter December tomorrow to get, at least for a few moments, at least for a few days, a couple Big Ten games in before going back to a very tough stretch in non-conference games as well. So a lot to get to. Glad you're with us today. We'll be here, as always, for the next hour, coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at IU's next opponent, Northwestern. We'll take a look at some of the big high school games tonight and this weekend. We'll tell you what high school game we'll be at tonight to broadcast here on the Big X, and we'll look at some other high school basketball notes as well. Big matchup coming next Saturday, 1 week from tomorrow. Center Grove with Trace Jackson Davis will take on Keon Brooks and LaPorte La Lemire. That's the Forum Tip-Off Classic at Southport. Always a great start to the season. Jeffersonville will participate in that event this year. We'll talk about that some as well and more. So stay with us for that coming up in segment one. Later in the show, Jared Morris in segment two of Assembly Call. Our chat with Jared each week presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll take a look at IU's upcoming game on Saturday, a 1 o'clock tip-off against Northwestern, which will be live here on the Big X. We'll also take a look at Penn State as well. That's who IU will play next. Two Big Ten games, as I mentioned, a little different getting used to that. Second year that the format has given two early Big Ten games like this, but nonetheless, two very important games forthcoming that IU has. Obviously, its targets on winning to get an early jump in the Big Ten Conference before coming back to the full slate of conference games, which begins in early January. Later in the program, we'll have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll catch some basketball stuff, a little recruiting with Kyle as well when he joins us on the program today. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines for this Friday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned, you know, again, two big ones coming up. As big as the Duke game was, obviously, Big Ten Conference is what it's all about for this team, and getting started early with two potential wins out there can mean a great jump start when the full conference slate begins in January, on January 3rd to be specific, for this IU team. They'll play Northwestern at home Saturday at 1 o'clock. They'll play at Penn State on Tuesday, December 4th. So in a three-day period, two big conference games, not a lot of time in between with travel and a little bit of practice and those sort of things, but two big ones coming up for Indiana. When they come back from two conference games, or after these two conference games, it's Louisville on December 8th, it's Butler on December 15th, and then you get to Central Arkansas and Jacksonville, two games right before the Christmas holiday. After that, it's Big Ten Conference play. And right out of the gate, after the new year, you got Illinois, who has played decently well in the non-conference part of their schedule. You've got a very good Michigan team, and that game is at Michigan as well. We know Michigan's capabilities after their big win, crushing win over North Carolina in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. also a game at Maryland and a home game against Nebraska. Then you get into the rivalry with Purdue. That's how the conference slate, at least the full slate, begins in January, which I think underscores why these two games coming up Saturday and Tuesday, Northwestern and Penn State, are so important for IU to get off to a good start, maybe get two wins and help with that early tough start to conference play. So big ones coming up. Northwestern, the opponent on Saturday. Northwestern just barely missed a NCAA tournament appearance last year. Of course, the year before that had a run to the round of 32 and just barely out last year. They had some interesting players in recent years. Of course, one was an Indiana guy, Bryant McIntosh from Greensburg. There was always the thought that Indiana, Tom Crean, missed on his recruitment by really not recruiting him hard at all. And Scotty Lindsey as well. Both of those guys are gone. Senior Vic Law, he's Northwestern's most familiar name and best player, off to a solid start. He's averaging 17.9 points so far this season, shooting 44% from the three-point line, and has been by far, I think it's safe to say, the biggest Northwestern threat of the season. So Northwestern will be a formidable opponent, but again, it's a home game for Indiana. It's one of those games that you've got to be bullish on. IU has to go in there at home and win this game. That's what they've got to do, especially after the poor performance at Duke, where I think it's pretty collective thought out there is that, yeah, Duke's really good and would have beat Indiana, but Indiana, out of the gate, in many regards, beat itself. And you can't let that happen coming back home. You can't let that happen in a Big Ten conference game. So it'll be really interesting to see how Indiana bounces back, or maybe doesn't bounce back, but I'm betting they bounce back. More time for guys to get healthy, more time for McRoberts and Green to see possibly more minutes and be a little bit more comfortable and not as sore in their roles. And obviously, it's the friendly confines of Assembly Hall, which I'm sure will be very welcoming to the team after playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium earlier this week. Big weekend for high school basketball, kind of a warm-up as well for next weekend. That's a huge weekend with the Form Tip-Off event on Saturday, New Albany and Floyd Central play on Friday, and that will be a lot of fun. But a couple good games to watch tonight and a couple good games to watch on Saturday that should give us a pretty good feeling for some of our local teams. Jeffersonville, they have a big challenge. They are at Evansville Bossy, who's been really good in 3A basketball now for a number of years. They've made multiple trips to the 3A state championship game. They've had a lot of high-level players, guys that are have went on to play college basketball at the Division I level. And they graduated a lot from last year, but they've got some interesting returners, including a key transfer that is on their roster and approved to play. So they're expected to battle again to be one of the good teams in 3A basketball coming out of Southern Indiana. Wouldn't surprise me down the road if we saw an Evansville-Ballsy Silver Creek game at some point of the tournament later in this season when we get to that point. But tonight, it'll be the Red Devils looking to score a big road win to start their season. Of course, Jeff cruised past Evansville Day last week to open the season with a 1-0 record. We'll have the Jeff-Ballsy game tonight. Lee Kelly and I headed that way later today. We'll be on the air about 7:40. We'll have the tip-off of that game is an 8 p.m. tip-off because of the game being down at Evansville on a Friday. So, again, we'll be on about 7:40 with pregame coverage. 8 o'clock, the tip-off. It's Jeffersonville at Evansville Ballsy tonight. I think it's a great game from a fan's perspective. I'm not sure how good we can do bringing you the coverage because that ball, it's going to fly up and down the floor. It's going to be a fast-paced game full of athletes that are going to look to score, make big plays going to the basket. So I think it'll be a game that moves very, very quickly tonight down at Evansville Ballsy, and we'll have the coverage for you here on the Big X. Also tonight, Floyd Central plays at Castle. That's a 7:30 tip-off tonight. Floyd Central already has scored one huge road win last Saturday when they defeated Lawrence North on their own court up in Indianapolis. And a year ago, this was a great game as well. Floyd Central won 66-64 when they played last year. And, of course, Kobe Barnes, the key for Floyd Central in this road game. Castle has Alex Hemingway, who is committed to Clemson. So you've got two D1 guys likely going against directly against each other for a good part of the night. Should be a good matchup, should be a good game tonight, and Floyd Central, I think, a favorite in that game, but always going on the road down to Evansville, especially for the first time of the year. If you can get your win, get a win in that first trip, give you some momentum and some confidence, Floyd will look to go down and do that tonight. Also, another interesting game is Alston at Providence. Providence has not yet played. Alston already has two games under their belt. Providence learning its way under new head coach Sean Smith. And Alston has a player, if you're going to that game tonight, his name is Drew Burr. Even though Alston has not been successful as a team so far this season in their two games, he had 35 points one game. He came back the next game and had 38 points. So he obviously is a huge offensive threat and will be fun to watch and see if the Pioneers can throttle him, can slow him down a bit tonight when they open their season. That game, a 7:30 tip at Providence. Also tomorrow, New Albany's at Evansville. Harrison, a game for New Albany to get down their first trip to Evansville. Harrison, always a solid program, always a very athletic team. They don't have any Duncan brothers. I don't think they have any Division I players right now. We mentioned that they lead the state, actually, them and Indianapolis Pike, with current Division I players from Indiana high schools. Evansville Harrison is tied at number one with Indianapolis Pike, and a lot of that has to do with the Duncan brothers all coming through in back-to-back-to-back years, and of course all three of those guys going to play at Vermont, a very unique situation. But it's at Harrison. They will be a formidable opponent. New Albany, the favorite in that game. Julian Hunter is expected to return in that game after missing the Bloomington South game. And obviously for New Albany, who's putting itself together and finding its way without Romeo, without Sean East, it's their second and last opportunity to do so, to figure out some kinks before they host Floyd Central in a great rivalry game. It will be a very tough game next Friday night as well. So that one will be fun. Also on Saturday, New Washington is at Christian Academy. That's a potential sectional game as well. A good slate of games this weekend, and even better slate of games next weekend. Speaking of next weekend, December 8th at Southport, Form Tip-Off Classic. New Albany's not there, Romeo's not there, but it's still a tremendous event. Jeffersonville plays in the event. They're in one of the opening games, the second game of the day at 1:40. They'll take on a very good and solid Carmel team. Also, the nightcap is one of those games you don't want to miss. Center Grove against La Lemire. That's Trace Jackson Davis against Keon Brooks. And we all know that La Lemire, not a traditional high school, not a member of the IHSAA. They have multiple players from across the country that are high major Division I players. So a big challenge for Center Grove, but from an IU recruiting perspective, it puts Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks head-to-head against each other in the nightcap. Also in that event, Armand Franklin, his Indianapolis Cathedral team, they play. There are some other young targets in the state that will be in action that day. Would not be surprising if you see many coaches there, head and assistant coaches that aren't playing that evening, maybe have some afternoon games to see if they stop by, especially for some of those later games. But another great slate. We'll be talking more about this event next week on the program. Speaking of games tonight, I want to mention, this is out of our area, but Indianapolis Cathedral with Armand Franklin, they play at Center Grove tonight at 7:30. That pits Franklin against Trace Jackson Davis. A lot of, I'm sure, IU fans planning to make that trip from what I've heard. And, of course, potentially IU recruit, IU signee, I need to call him, Franklin, against IU recruit, someone I know a lot of fans are hoping commits to the Hoosiers very soon, Trace Jackson Davis, in that game tonight. So that's one of the games on a statewide level to follow tonight in Indiana high school basketball. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with a fresh made-to-order fruit, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens, and you can bet that Phil and the crew at Hoopsters will have the IU game loud and on all the TV Saturday at 1 o'clock if you want to stop by and take in the IU game with other IU fans as well. Evansville Ballsy hosting Jeff tonight. Lee Kelly and I have that broadcast. We'll be on the air about 7:40 tonight, pregame interviews, and to get you all set for a big early season game. I think we'll find out a lot more about the Jeffersonville team tonight. Very much look forward to making that trip with Lee and calling that game for you here on the Big X. So Tune in as you're out and about tonight or maybe at another game. We'll give you the very latest with high school basketball. We'll try to keep you posted on some other area games as well. And, of course, Douglas will have our scoreboard show when we're said and done to wrap you up with what's going on across the area. So, busy night on the Big X from the pocket city of Evansville. That's where we'll be. Stay with us for the Hoosier Report. Three more segments coming up. And, of course, the game tonight, Jeffersonville at Evansville-Ballsy. We'll have more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us. And Jared Morris of Assembly Call, our guest always in this segment. Jared is with the Assembly Call. You can hear Jared and his crew following every IU game. Once the network coverage ends, we go right to the Assembly Call IU postgame show for a lot of breakdown, a lot of review of what just happened on the court, good and bad, for the Indiana Hoosiers right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Our segment with Jared is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, I'm curious, through seven games for this Indiana team, what some of your takeaways, what some of your evaluations, both good and bad, would be?
Well, you know, I think the main overall takeaway is that when you kind of step back and remember what we were talking about in the preseason, you know, the results that Indiana has had, you know, that have been generated so far aren't that far off from what we thought in terms of wins and losses. You know, obviously that Arkansas game you would have liked to have and you were there, you know, within an inch on that tip of getting it, you'd certainly feel better if you're 6-1. But I think if you told people at the start of the season Indiana's going to be 5-2, especially given the injuries that have happened, I think most of us would have said, okay, that seems reasonable. You know, so I think Indiana's in a fine spot from a results standpoint, obviously now with four really big games coming up over the next 2 weeks that they need to win, you know, three of. With that said, you know, I think there are some things that have kind of come to the forefront as concerns, namely the turnovers and the free throw shooting. And, you know, those have been really disappointing to a lot of fans because they seem like fundamental things that, you know, that you really control that shouldn't be an issue. And you can explain away the turnovers a little bit because of the injuries and, you know, some of the young guys that have been pressed into action, but certainly not to the level that they have been. You know, they've been much worse than anybody would want. And then the free throw shooting is a continuation of the issue from last year. And so those are two issues as Indiana moves forward that really are going to need to get fixed, because when you start to look at how much better the Big Ten is this year and how night in, night out, you know, you're going to be facing teams that are going to be able to beat you if you're not playing your B+, A- game, you know, with those small margins, turnovers and free throws are going to decide games. And Indiana needs to be on the plus side of that, not constantly playing from behind because they're giving away possessions and giving up easy points. So, you know, I think that there are things to feel good about. You know, Romeo, his ability to score, you know, what we've seen from Juwan Morgan when he hasn't been in foul trouble, Deron Davis looking better, Rob Finnessy, you know, doing a nice job as a freshman point guard. But I think those two issues that have really come to the forefront are the main things to be concerned about and really things to watch over the next few weeks to see if they get better.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. You know, leading up to the season, and I know that we were, I don't want to say grasping for content, but we wanted to see the season get here before it got here. We wanted to talk about all the returning players and all the new guys with as much information that we could gather in the offseason as possible. So we spent a lot of time in those final weeks leading up to the scrimmage and to the first game talking about the improvements, and some of that was on the court. Some of that was in body and shape and weight loss and things like that that we possibly could get our hands on. And a lot of that conversation, when you talk about returning guys to be excited about, centered on some things we had heard and some things we assumed about Justin Smith. And there's no question that he's got all the tools to really be a key for this team and be someone I think that this season will have a breakout type year, but he hasn't quite reached that level just yet. Talk about his season so far specifically and how he could maybe grow and work his way into the type of season that I think some of the off-season buzz may have had him having already.
Yeah, Justin's struggling, clearly. You know, he's struggling with turnovers. He's a guy who, given his athletic ability and given the off-season focus on finishing around the basket, you would have expected to be better. He hasn't been yet. Last year, he was around 58% finishing around the basket. This year, he's at just 50%. So, you know, he's struggling to make that improvement. I think also you see a guy that got really comfortable with his role toward the end of last season and really kind of, you know, slipped into it after Christmas and started to play better, and especially over the last six games, was really consistent. And now that role has changed. You know, when you bring in a guy like Romeo and you know, you obviously have Juwan, who's a focal point, and the offense is a little bit different. And he just seems like a guy right now that is a little bit uncomfortable on that end of the court. You know, last year he really succeeded being the screener in pick and rolls. You know, in 22 possessions as the screener, he produced something like 1.35 points per possession, either as a pop guy or rolling to the basket or slipping the screen. This season he hasn't had one of those opportunities. So, you know, I think he's trying to deal with some changes and some different things and figure out where he is. And when the transition opportunities aren't there, which they haven't been as much over the last few games as they were the first few games, that's really been his bread and butter this year. So without those there, it's harder for him to get easy points. And to me, we're seeing a guy who is a very cerebral player, a thoughtful player, maybe even to his detriment sometimes, because it feels like he's kind of overthinking things, and that might, you know, kind of hurt his confidence a little bit when things aren't going you know, maybe how he envisions them going. And this is me, of course, analyzing from 1,000 miles away, you know, just kind of trying to pick things apart based on, you know, little comments that you know, that you hear, you know, the coaches make and that kind of thing. So I think people are disappointed in how he started, and I understand that. But I think we also need to remember that he's just a sophomore still, you know, and even though we had this idealized version of him in the preseason, he's still a guy that needs time to develop into that. And he's a guy who last year was a slow starter. And by this point in his freshman season, after playing a lot at the beginning of the year, he hit a stretch where he didn't play more than 11 minutes and even took a DNP against Notre Dame over about 10 games before he got things going again. So, you know, like you said, I think he's still got plenty of time to get this thing turned around and have a really strong sophomore season. But he clearly just hasn't found his rhythm. And I think some of the struggles on offense are leading, you know, to some struggles on defense. And so maybe if he can flip that around and focus more on letting defense drive the offense, maybe that's kind of a mental switch that will help him as he kind of figures out what his role is going to be on the offense. And as the offense as a whole gets better, gets more chemistry while, you know, kind of putting the new pieces together and getting some of the injured guys back.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. You want to take a stab maybe at who has been IU's breakout player of the year, maybe someone that you weren't expecting as much from as we previewed the season weeks ago that has brought some good things to the team on a fairly consistent basis?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think the obvious answer is Rob Phinisee because, you know, shoot, no one really, I think, expected him to start, and who knows if he would have been the starter if Devontae Green hadn't been hurt, but he's been mostly good. You know, he obviously struggled against Duke, and I think he's a freshman point guard who is probably going to struggle on the road and probably going to struggle against, you know, really talented, experienced guards, and so we need to be patient with him as well. But he has shown a lot of poise and, you know, has a strong assist-to-turnover ratio, and so he's been surprising. And to me, the other guy, you know, I don't know if you would term it a breakout because we've kind of already seen what he's capable of, but the guy who's doing a lot more at this stage in the season than I expected is Deron Davis. And he, you know, he has been especially good in Indiana's two toughest matchups at Arkansas and at Duke. When Indiana really needed someone to step up, Deron was there and stepped up. You know, he was one of the bright spots against Duke. And, you know, while you can focus on the foul at the end of the Arkansas game and missing the tip-in, you know, he provided a lot of good minutes in that game and has looked more, you know, more comfortable, more kind of nimble out there on the court than I think we expected as he comes back from the Achilles injury. So, you know, given the injuries to Race Thompson and Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester not being able to get into the rotation, Indiana has needed someone to step up in that spot, and Deron has done it. So I feel a lot more comfortable about his ability to be a consistent contributor this season, especially as he starts to move past some of the soreness that he's been dealing with. You know, hopefully he's able to do that and also get back into shape. You know, he's really shown some positive things. So those are the two guys that stand out. But, yeah, you know, I think you've seen obviously some good things from Juwan and from Romeo. And, you know, Evan Fitzner has been, you know, really good at the thing we've needed him to be good at, three-point shooting, and kind of struggled at some of the other things that we thought he might struggle at, like defense and, you know, kind of being tough around the basket. So, you know, it's certainly been a mixed bag early on, but I do think there have been more things that have been positive and things to feel good about than things to feel bad about. It's just, it's so easy to focus on those negative things because we all want this season to go so well, so badly, because it's our last go around with Juwan and probably our only go around with Romeo.
Jared, I want to ask you about this as well. Race Thompson, you know, we talk a lot about injuries right now. Zach McRoberts and Devontae Green, it looks like, are making their way back into the rotation. And we know Jerome Hunter is out indefinitely. There's some concerning remarks regarding that. We hope that that is not anything terribly serious and that he is able to return at some point. But I guess at some point you've got to look at what will his plans for his freshman year be if it's going to be delayed. But one player we haven't talked a lot about is Race Thompson, and there was a lot of excitement about him joining the team this year for games because he's already been through a year of the practices as a redshirt. He's been through a year of the conditioning. He got his body prepared through the course of last season, even though he couldn't play in games with this team. But we haven't got a chance to see him this year, even though he's no longer a redshirt because of injuries and because now he has some concussion-like symptoms that have lingered on for a while. That's something you got to be very, very careful with. But thoughts on when we could maybe see him? I know concussions can have all different types of levels as far as how serious they are and how long they can require you to be out on the sidelines. But he has had a player that feels like has been in Bloomington for a long while now that we haven't had the opportunity really to see much at all on the court.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't really have any insight to add on when he'll be back. It's just, it sounds like it's just a wait and see. You know, concussions are tricky things, and you know, anytime you're dealing with a head injury like that, you want to do everything you can to put him in the best possible position to come back and be at full strength and not to have that linger. But he's certainly an important piece. You know, I mean, that's a huge part of Indiana's depth. And you mentioned Jerome Hunter. I mean, that's two guys that we all assumed would be in Indiana's top 8, 9, 10 players that we've gotten nothing from. You know, and so you got to kind of take that into account as you assess what's happened over these first 7 games. There's not a ton of hope that Jerome is going to come back, but certainly we expect Race back at some point. And I'm sure when he does come back, it'll take him a little while to, you know, to get back and get acclimated. But I think he can be a real shot in the arm for this team once he does come back.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Don't forget, you can hear the Assembly Call IU postgame show immediately after the IU Network coverage after each game right here on the Big X Sports Radio. I want to ask you this, too. Two Big Ten games coming up. I want to talk a little bit about Northwestern in a minute, but generally these next two games I feel like are extremely important. And I know you could find a way as someone that covers this stuff or as an IU fan to find out or to figure out a way to make every game really, really important. But I really believe these two early Big Ten games are important because of what I said earlier on the show today. If you look at the January 3rd start of the full Big Ten slate, IU host Illinois, they're at Michigan, they're at Maryland, they take on a solid Nebraska team, they have rival Purdue on the road. That's how they'll open in January with the full part of the schedule. That's a tough way to open the conference, and if Indiana could find a way to enter that opening stretch with two wins already over Northwestern and Penn State on their conference record, I think that would be a big boost and a little bit of a relief maybe for this team. So I really see these next two games, as odd as it may be to play some conference games and then go back to non-conference games, I really see them as two big ones for this team.
I agree with you completely. You know, that gauntlet to start Big Ten play it's intimidating. And, you know, not that this team can't navigate it, but when you have that many road games against teams like that, I mean, you could go, you know, in that five-game stretch with the Nebraska home game sandwiched in there, you could go 2-3 in that stretch and still feel pretty good. I mean, depending on how you play, you could go 1-4 and be like, all right, well, you know, let's, you know, let's lick our wounds and let's move forward. At least we played well. So that's why I think you really got to play well in these two games. And I think the other thing is, you know, you certainly expect to win the home game. And so you've got to hold serve at home. And then winning at Penn State, which is no given certainly because they're good this year and that place has been tough for Indiana to play, you know, that would give you some positive feeling away from home, which you haven't had yet because you've lost both of your road games. And that can be helpful with the Butler game coming up because that's a really important game to get a win away from home in the non-conference. It's Indiana's last opportunity to do that. And that is something that the committee really looks at. So obviously, you know, in Big Ten play, you have the opportunity for a lot of wins, but none of them are going to be non-conference wins away from home. And so that's a kind of a checkbox on the resume that you want to be able to tick off. And if you can, you know, get a win at Penn State, hopefully that gives you some confidence away from home that you can carry into that Butler game too. So, yeah, I mean, for so many reasons, these are big games for Indiana and really are going to, you know, kind of set the stage and build the momentum, either positive or negative, for what's going to come after it.
Jared, when we look at Northwestern on Saturday, 1 o'clock tip, I think you've got to start with senior Vic Law, Northwestern's best player by far, and he's starting the season the way you would expect someone of his level to do, averaging just under 18 points a game. He's shooting the ball from three-point land, 44% or so, leads the team in a lot of different ways. And I think, obviously, when you prepare for Northwestern or start thinking about the matchup Saturday, you've got to start figuring out how to guard him and maybe how to slow him down a bit if possible.
Yeah, you know, and he's a good lesson in sometimes in college basketball, you got to be patient with guys. There were probably people, Vic Law's freshman and sophomore year, that were just, you know, Northwestern fans who were just as frustrated with him as Indiana fans are with Justin Smith right now. But, you know, some guys, it takes 3 or 4 years to really get their footing. And you know, you want to kind of build a program that is able to allow for the patience of that kind of development. So, you know, he's just, you know, another in a long line of stories like that. And, yeah, you know, I think he's the key. You know, Northwestern's a good defensive team. So, you know, for Indiana, I think this game, especially being at home, is so much more about Indiana doing what it needs to do, you know, rather than what Northwestern brings in. Because Indiana has more talent than Northwestern. If Indiana plays well, they will beat Northwestern at home. The question is Indiana going to do the things it needs to do? Will the Hoosiers protect the ball? You know, will the Hoosiers make free throws? You know, will the Hoosiers really defend with high intensity for the entire game? And for the most part, they've done that this year. Only one team has scored more than 1 point per possession against Indiana. So if they do those things, they'll be fine and they'll win this game at home. And I think if they're unable to do that, kind of unable to get things righted at home, you know, it's a little bit of cause for concern. But I, you know, right now I think they'll respond well to what happened to Duke and having, you know, Devontae and Zach back and now being able to practice a little bit and get back acclimated, I think that'll be good. And so I expect a really strong performance. And I'm going to be surprised if Indiana doesn't come out and play really well on Saturday.
Jared, I want to close with something unrelated to the current team in this season. Last night on ESPN, the 30 for 30, about Bob Knight, and, of course, big focal point around that, Neil Reed, the choking incident, and I know it had been out and available on other platforms, but first time it had been on television, first time I got to see it, and I didn't get to watch the entire thing. But very interesting, funny to kind of go back and see Assembly Hall and some of the game clips that were shown, some of the highlights of Knight's teams and different players, just seeing that from knowing what it looks like now, what the environment is like now. But Neil Reed got to tell his story, which I think is probably the most important part of that documentary last night. Curious your thoughts on that, and did I see on Twitter that you were not involved, but you were at the Knight rally? Did they get a little clip of you from the show, or was somebody just joking with you?
No, I was at that rally. I was a freshman at the time, I believe. Yeah, I was at that rally. I actually spoke at that rally on behalf of Coach Knight. So it was a crazy time to be on campus, that's for sure. And you know, that the documentary, we had the good fortune of interviewing the director, Mr. Abbott, for on Podcast on the Brink when it first came out on ESPN Plus. So I didn't watch it last night, but I watched it several months back when it first came out on ESPN Plus. And I thought it was well done, and I thought it was a story worth telling. And I know, you know, whenever something comes up about Coach Knight, you know, it's difficult because, you know, you need to tell the full story to understand the full scope of the good and the bad and the positive and the negative that he brought. And obviously this kind of hyper-focused on the end, and the end was not good in a lot of ways. And it hyper-focused on this story with Neil Reed, which I definitely think was a story worth telling. And to me, that was, you know, kind of the heart of this film and the most affecting part of this film, especially the end. And that's, you know, that's not a story that's going to shine Coach Knight in the greatest of lights. And so I understand the disappointment from some people, but, you know, I thought it was well done. I thought it was for the most part fair. And I think it's something important to watch, you know, for Indiana fans, if for no other reason than to remember, you know, what Neil Reed went through and what things were like for him after that. Because he was a player who was so beloved when he was there. I mean, he was, you know, when he was at Indiana, he was my favorite player, you know, and, you know, I don't know that time has been great for his reputation as a Hoosier just because of how things ended. And I think that was really unfair. And I think the documentary did a good job of highlighting that.
Jared Morris with us Fridays of Assembly Call. Don't forget, on Saturday we'll have Jared and the IU post-game show from Assembly Call right here on the Big X at the conclusion of the IU game and the IU network coverage. Always fun to chat. Thanks for all of your insight, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Matt. Have a good weekend.
You too. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, and pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some hoops. We'll talk some recruiting as well. And get ready for a big weekend, both IU in action, lots of high school games. And the good news is, as good as this weekend will be from a basketball perspective, next weekend will be even better. Stay with us for Kyle after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Friday show. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. And, Kyle, the high school season is in full swing. We've got some good games this weekend. I was talking about some of the better games in our immediate area tonight and Saturday night earlier in the show. But some good games on a statewide level. And the good thing is it gets even better next week. We've got New Albany-Floyd Central, a rivalry game, which I have full expectation will be sold out and will be very competitive. And then, of course, next Saturday, the Forum Tip-Off Classic. A lot of good and IU-Louisville, if you want to throw that in, as far as a good basketball weekend next weekend as well. But the season is here. Some good games and some good ones this weekend and next weekend as well.
Yeah, it really kind of starts in full this week. I know we started last week, but, you know, obviously a lot of the attention was on the football state finals, and there were games going on, but we really get going this weekend. And good tournament out, not really a tournament, but kind of a showcase deal out in Danville tonight and tomorrow all day. Lalamere playing here a couple times. They play Attucks tonight and Brownsburg tomorrow, so a couple of the better area teams playing out there. And then you know, of course, the Cathedral Center Grove game tonight, where you have an Indiana recruit in Armand Franklin and a potential Indiana recruit in Trace Jackson Davis. So should be a really good one out there at Center Grove tonight as well. And really a pretty good weekend in full. Like you said, there's some good statewide matchups, and Lawrence Central Carmel's another game around here tonight that I think is going to be really, really interesting. Curious to see at some point see that Marion team with Jalen Blackman and that group. I watched some of their highlights from the other night against Fort Wayne Northside, and really looks like a fun team to watch, and they host Lawrence North tonight. So, you know, pretty good start to the getting everything going tonight, and then like you said, some even better games next week, including the Forum Tip-Off Classic next Saturday.
Kyle Neddenrip with the Indianapolis Star joining us. Tonight, I like Armand Franklin of Cathedral and Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove. They go against each other. Of course, one IU signee with another guy in Trace that IU fans hope becomes an IU signee at some point later in the year. But no question about it, that's a good look at two IU potential guys, one already in the fold, and two teams in Indianapolis that could challenge and make some noise in their respective paths.
Yeah, Cathedral's ranked third and started off with a good solid win over Howe the other night. And Center Grove's 2-0. They haven't played a team that up to Cathedral's level just yet, but a team that I expect and I have ranked first in our area and also in the state as we go into the season. I don't think it's by any big margin or anything, but I think Center Grove's going to be a really good team. That's not any breaking news with a player like Trace Jackson Davis, but they have some other good players around him, and curious to see how they come out and play. I kind of expect them to win tonight, but I think it'll be a really good challenge from a Cathedral team that is only going to get better, I think, as the year goes along. And I guess my question is, do they have the size? Do they have somebody to match up with Jackson Davis, inside? And they have another player, DeGraff, who's a big, solid guy inside, too. So I think Center Grove's got a little bit of an advantage as far as the inside presence goes, but Cathedral can get out and score. And anytime you get a guy who can fill the stat sheet like Franklin in many areas, not just scoring, that's going to be a fun matchup and one I've kind of had circled for a while, early in the season to kind of see, how these teams shake out and maybe who takes the early lead on maybe the team to beat. And Franklin goes out tonight and has a huge game and wins, then I think you start talking about him more as a Mr. Basketball candidate. So, should be a fun matchup. I think we'll learn a lot about both teams tonight, and I'm looking forward to covering that game.
We're talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle is always with us on Fridays. A lot of high school discussion, a lot of recruiting stuff when Kyle is with us on the program. One thing about Trace Jackson Davis, and I know that you've kind of been our go-to person as far as covering his recruiting updates, what he's saying about when he might make his decision. But one of the things that happened in his recruiting most recently was at a home game last weekend. Not only was Archie Miller there, but basically the entire IU staff, I think four coaches, including Archie Miller, at one of his home games last week, which is a big statement, not just to send one coach out to watch him play, but to make time for all the coaches to go when IU's off and not playing and could disperse guys around at other games to watch younger players maybe that they're interested in as well. They chose to stick together and to make a statement. I think they were sitting front and center for the game.
Yeah, and it's there's no clearer picture than the sending your whole staff who can get out there to watch him play. And I know sometimes when you're at these AAU events and stuff, coaches will kind of make appearances or, they will make it known that they're watching somebody, and then, they may bounce off to another game or, they may try to watch two games at once, just to maximize their time and make sure the kid knows they're watching, or multiple kids in a game or know that they're there watching. But, I think when you get to the high school games and you bring your whole staff, there's no clear, picture of what they're trying to get the message across. And I think Trace knows that anyway, but there's nothing like being there and doing it and really, kind of following through on your word of okay, you're our priority. And I saw that too. And I think that's I don't know how long necessarily. I don't think, Trace knows necessarily how long this is going to last as far as his recruitment process goes. But, I think that's a pretty clear picture that IU's trying to make for him, that we need you and we're going to do, what it takes to get you here. And by doing that, I think that's, kind of your actions sometimes speak louder than words in that case.
Talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. I want to hit the Forum Tip-Off Classic. I know we opened with that, but some great matchups that day. Lots of players that will be or already are meaningful to Indiana high school basketball this season. Early in the day, you get Jeffersonville and Carmel, so New Albany not in it this year. Jeffersonville is for some local Southern Indiana flavor, but you've got Armand Franklin and Cathedral playing. You've obviously got the nightcap game of Center Grove and La Lemire from LaPorte with Trace Jackson Davis against Keon Brooks and many other talented players in that game as well. But throughout the day, there's sprinkles of young talent in the state, guys that we have talked some about from a recruiting standpoint, but will likely talk more about as they grow into their games and become older prospects in the state. Once again, it's probably the best field of games, teams, and individual players with talent that you could hope to put together on one day of basketball.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out there and seeing almost all of that day, and you know, we're going to plan to cover that as much as we can, and you know, it's always, you know, and I always enjoy the fact that it's played at Southport Fieldhouse, which is a great place to watch games anyway. You know, so that kind of even adds to the you know, adds to the excitement, I think, of being there and being part of that day. But you know, some of the teams that we saw last year, Center Grove was in it last year. They played Hamilton Southeastern. Both those teams are back. So we get a chance to see HSC play, you know, Culver Academy, which has Trey Galloway, of course, you know, one of the top recruits in the 2020 class. You know, a really good Frankton team that, you know, maybe people don't know as much about. They're a smaller school, but a really good team early in the day. Like you said, Carmel, Jeffersonville, Brownsburg has a lot of good talent on that team. And, you know, playing a Newcastle team with Luke Bumbleow, who's going to Ball State, and you know, that's a really, really solid group out of Newcastle. So, you know, then Cathedral, Zionsville, and Center Grove, La Lemire. So then you get Jackson Davis against Keon Brooks in the nightcap. So, you know, just a lot of talent in one place. And you know, this has been something that, you know, Brian Snow has put together and done a great job with. And I think this is, what, the sixth year of it. And this might be, you know, hard to beat last year when you had Romeo and all that excitement and buzz about him. But this year might be even better with just from top to bottom as far as the overall number of teams who are there that have, you know, guys who are being recruited or have been already committed to colleges. So it's just going to be a really good day and a chance for, you know, kind of the basketball nut to get out and see a whole bunch of games in a single venue, which I always like. I always like the multiple games, whether it's two or in this case six. You know, you get a chance to get a little bit more bang for your buck, and you kind of lose track of the time, and you know, you go in and it's morning and you get out and it's dark and it's almost midnight. But that's kind of the fun for anybody who loves basketball, you know, like we do. It doesn't get any better than that.
AP poll, early season rankings, I guess you got to say AP and coaches. You've got Floyd Central moving up after a win last week at Lawrence North. Jeffersonville is in the rankings. New Albany's been just outside the top 10 as far as the Associated Press version of the 4A goes. But once again, we're seeing three teams, our three 4A schools in the Southern Indiana area, that are all right there bunched together and getting some statewide recognition. And I think that's something that fans of all these schools down here appreciate, seeing everybody, not just one team, get some recognition and know that there are players that are, you know, catching the attention of maybe the voters in Indianapolis and teams that are catching the attention of voters in Indianapolis. It seems to me, Kyle, and I maybe could be disproven really quick. I'm just kind of making a guess here based on what I can remember. But in that 4A group, and really in any poll, in any class, last year and to start this year at least, down here we're getting some pretty good attention and some pretty good respect from the rest of the state.
Yeah, and I think it only builds on itself. You know, when you have a chance to, you know, when Floyd beat New Albany last year, I mean, it only kind of adds to, you know, like, wow, what's Floyd got? You know, and then people want to know more about you. And then, you know, you see Floyd Central beat Lawrence North this past weekend. And Lawrence North is no joke. You know, that's a really good team. And, you know, so they come in here and beat Lawrence North. It only adds to your reputation, you know, when you can get wins like that. And then, you know, those teams down there kind of beat each other up. And I think there's just a kind of a respect factor that builds over time. And people all know, you know, what New Albany's done and continue to do. And I think they're going to still be a good team this year. And with what Jeffersonville had coming back, what Floyd Central had coming back with Kobe Barnes, and then their sophomore guard had a really good game against Lawrence North. So, you know, I think that's only gonna help, and you know, I think people around here definitely respect, you know, what that area has done over the years. It's not like it's just happened here recently. It's over a long period of time. So I think there's a respect factor that just kind of goes with basketball in Southern Indiana, probably more prevalent here just recently in the last year or 3 or 4 years with what Romeo's done. But I think it's always been there in some regard, and it always helps when you come up here and beat one of the good teams up here, you know, because that only adds to, you know, your reputation and kind of builds your prestige a little bit too. And I think that'll continue. I wouldn't be surprised to see all three of those teams in the top 10. I know New Albany's close right now, but and I think some of those top South Bend Riley's kind of, you know, riding on what they did last year a little bit as far as the rankings go. But all those other teams, I think, you know, I think there's a really solid top 10 right there. And I think Lawrence Central should be ranked. You know, I think that's a team that should be in the top 10. And if they beat Carmel tonight, probably will be next week.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays, always talking lots of basketball, especially this time of year. Kyle, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games you will be at. And we'll see you soon and talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt.
All right, Kyle with us Fridays. A great way to close out the week here on the program. Thanks for being with us today. Hopefully you were with us every day this week. Don't forget our podcasts are available on SoundCloud, also on Apple Podcasts. On SoundCloud, you can download the app or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. On Apple Podcasts, just search the Hoosier Report. If you would be so kind to leave us a rating and a review as well, that'll help others find us that might be interested in a show about IU sports and Southern Indiana sports as well. Don't forget, Lee Kelly and I are down in Evansville tonight. We'll be on the air about 7:40 with pregame coverage. Jeffersonville at Evansville Ballsy tonight, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Of course, IU on the air tomorrow at 1. Have a great night, a great weekend, and we'll talk with you soon. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.